I would like to take you through this morning from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. And the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Church, this morning, based on this passage, next couple of minutes, I would like to bring the word in your midst. When we look at the book of Philippians, Paul was writing these epistles while he was experiencing his imprisonment. And Paul wrote number of epistles to different churches. Most of the letters were resolving issues which was happening in the churches. In a way, the church had a problem. Paul was writing a solution through his epistles. But unlikely, the Philippians, this letter, bit different. There was no much problem that Paul urged to write this letter. Rather, Paul had something in his mind. That's why he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. The things what he had in his mind to write this letter, that he wanted to say thank you for the church in Philippi. Is it okay me asking you to repeat with me? Thank you. Not me, just to say it out. So Paul wants to say two thanks to the church in Philippi. Number one, the church was so grateful to Paul to bringing them the gospel of Christ in the city. Because of that, Paul's effort, this church decided to support Paul and his ministry financially. In chapter 4 in Philippians, verses 18 and 19, you will come across that Paul is specifically saying your financial support that I received. So Paul wants to say thank you, number first thanks, because of their financial support. Second thank, the church sent a physical aid that was their best contribution to Paul. Because while Paul was in the prison, he had his own physical weakness, whereas there was a need my understanding, a personal carer, right? So, this church decided to send one person to go and be with Paul and do all his physical needful. So, what this church did, they sent a dormitory skilled to serve Paul while he was under house arrest. The man they sent was called Epaphroditus. Maybe you may pronounce it in a different way. Chapter 2, verse 15. All right. So these are the two reasons. Paul wanted to say thanks to the church at Philippi for their financial support and their the physical support what they sent. And when Paul went to start the church in Philippi, it was not so easy. There was no church. He found very hard to find and gather people. So he happened to visit to the riverside or lakeside, happened to meet some people. And finally, when the church was formed, there were very few people, specifically maybe two full family and few single women, ladies. One is Lydia and her family, and the other family was the jailer and his family. The book of Acts chapter 16 will give you good explanation what I'm talking to you. Go home if you have time. Please read chapter 16 from the book of Acts. All right? Now, so when Paul was writing this letter, in his introduction part, that is what we read from verses 3 to 6, there's a he promise word that Paul was using. He was saying, the one who began the good work, he will carry on till on the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you all there? Yes? So, why Paul was motivated to say to them, in such a promise words to them, the one who began the good work, that he will make sure you will be ended up in a right manner. That's what he wanted to say. It's a kind of uplifting them in the situation what they were going through. This was a reality. After a number of years, now Paul is no more there with them physically. Paul is in prison. And church was going through some uncertainty, some challenges, some troubles. And obviously, they were going through some persecutions. So the believers in the church begin to think, is it right? Is it real? Are we in a real faith? These are all mounted in their mind with the big doubts and questions. That is why Paul is saying, the one who began the good work in you. Amen? So this morning, this is what I would like to present in front of you. And I would like to challenge with these words. What was that good work begun or beginning in their life? What Paul was trying to tell them about this good work? Number one, Paul mean to say that the salvation is that good work begun in them through the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Now for sure, any good work, if that can begin in our life even today, it is only by God. The salvation we cannot earn by our own, or somebody cannot give you as a gift. It could only be God. Hallelujah. Now for sure, I would like to tell you, once you want to or become a believer in God, we have three common enemies. Those three common enemies are the world, flesh, and Satan. These three enemies always, every moment, every time, they will look for an opportunity to pull us back from God. Not to enjoy the salvation, the good work, what God began in us. Are you there? So therefore, Paul wants to remind to this church, do not be discouraged. Do not be feel bad, the faith what you begin to follow. Do not be regret that you dedicate yourself, you commit your life for the gospel that you heard, that God, whom we preached in the gospel, he has begun the good work in you. That is the salvation. Because Bible promises through Jesus Christ, the eternal life is promised to us. In the Old Testament, the physical blessings was the promise. But in the New Testament, the eternal life is the promise. Amen? If God gives you the physical blessings, the material blessings, those are as a bonus. Take it up. Enjoy it. Yes. Yes. But in the New Testament, in Jesus Christ, it is the eternal promise. Eternal life is the promise. So my friends, if you're desiring to enjoy the good work, what God began in you, we must continually believe in God besides of the situations what we are facing and going through. Amen. That is what Paul wants to say to them as well as for us today. Number two, in this passage we read, in verse 3, Paul says that the believers in this church, the Philippians, they were partnering with Paul, sharing the gospel of Christ to others. Are you there? Yeah. So, they were, secondly, Paul wanted to, why he's saying this word? Because they were partnered with Paul in the work of the gospel. Can you repeat with me? The work of the gospel? Do I pronounce properly? Do you understand my English? Great. If we have received and enjoying this work, what God began in us, if we, Paul says, do not worry, because God is faithful, the one who began the good work in you, he will make sure that you ended up in the right way. So that's why he says, you partnered with me in the gospel business. Amen. In Paul's way of defining or understanding or telling this church, this is what he wanted to say. Partnership in the gospel means partnership with God. Hallelujah. When you desiring to take this gospel, what you are enjoying, the good work what God began in you, when you're desiring to take this to others, that means you are not simply partnering with the gospel, but you are partnering with God. Amen. If we have an ongoing desire to partner with God in sharing our faith with others, God will carry it on to completion. Is that right? You may be wonder, after begin to follow this faith, after I receive this gospel, still my problem has not been resolved. Still I'm suffering with some physical challenges. Still I'm going through some hardship. Still I'm facing persecutions. But my friends, amidst of all these are not illusions. These are not fakes. What we are facing is true. Yet we as a children of God, within us, where God began the good works, it is our obligation to be partner with God in sharing gospel to others. If we desire to that as a church, as an individual, this is the promise Philippians chapter 1 verse 5 gives us. The one who began the good work in us, he will carry it on to completion. Amen. Number three. What is that good work Paul is referring or talking to this church? This church, these believers in Philippi, they lived on and witnessing the gospel to others as a great responsibility. It is not only just me listening to the gospel, me enjoying God's blessings. It is, they received it as a responsibility. I don't know, what is your understanding when we say responsibility? In my way of understanding, if I've been told the church is starting by 10 o'clock, making sure before 10 o'clock I'm at the church. That's my responsibility. If I have been said from this time on, these rules come to implement, it is my obligation to take it as a responsibility. If not, it is called irresponsibility. I will be ended up facing some, paying some penalty or some unwanted situations. The believers in the church in Philippi, they took the gospel as a responsibility. It's like a double sight. One responsibility that we have to live on this gospel, what we heard. And the other side of this gospel, the responsibility, not only I heard, I got to equally and parallelly to share with others. They took it as a responsibility. Amen. My friends, we rejoice that we have come to know the Savior. How many of you say yes? Because you came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, we are enjoying and we are rejoicing. Is that right? Yes. But the big question this morning in front of us, before I leave the microphone on the platform, on the pulpit, the big question is, what are we doing to make Jesus to known to others? That is the question. Let me to tell you something before I conclude. That's something that I'm going to tell you that will help us. By the way, this is proven by science. All right? That is, when you help other people in need, by default, we help ourselves. Are you there? When we declare God's greatness to others, something wonderful begins to grow again within us. When I share how Christ changed my life, my own heart gets tender again, and my emotions and mind get renewed. It really is a miracle. Hallelujah. So, this is the reason Paul wants to say a kind of promising word to the believers in Philippi. I believe the Spirit of God wanted to challenge us today with the same word for us to understand that God is in control in our personal circumstances and our needs and our challenges and the persecutions, the difficulties, what we are going through. Amidst of it all, God wants us to give a prominent or first or priority for the gospel of Christ, the good work, what has been begun in us, equally and parallelly, we should live on and we should share this gospel with others. Amen? If we can do so, my friends, this morning, it is the promise. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's meditate this and declare this. May the Lord bless you all.